Right, I'll reconvene the hearing. Questions?
All right, thank you. Just want to move forward through the appendix then to the visitor accommodation issue, Queenstown Airport, and that's on page 11. And this is about the restricting the length of stay. And you've got reason in the column, you have reasons for your position. You put a point there, this standard would be impractical to administer. Can you just expand on that for me about why you think that?
From a council point of view, it would be just too administratively tedious to have to go through records of length of stay. Would you first of all have to require any hotel or visitor accommodation facility to provide that, to chase that up? Just the ongoing monitoring and enforcement would be onerous.
Because of the amount of time it would take, or?
Time and resources.
So what would be involved there is somebody checking a hotel register for the duration of stay. And you're saying that that's onerous to do?
Yeah, because also following up on certain situations when that length of stay is exceeded, then what? Like, just going through the whole process of enforcing that rule.
Just on that last point, you, I take it you support the airport's desire to have visitor accommodation, and in your view, the only issue is that the internal noise environment is satisfactory. Is that, am I correct on that?
Yes, but I've also agreed with Mr. Carl in terms of limiting the provision of outdoor.
Yes, yes, without the outdoor, without outdoor space.
Yeah.
Would you equally support the provision visitor accommodation subject to the same standards, that is satisfactory internal noise environment and no outdoor space elsewhere in the out of control boundary?
Yes, and in my 42A report I think that I addressed that provision being also being duplicated in adjoining zones, but those two adjoining zones being Brampton Flats B and Markables Park have been excluded from the district plan review. So,
what about in the local shopping centre at 1 Hanson Road?
I have not done an assessment on that.
That's within the out of control boundary, isn't it?
Yeah, but then there's the other issue.
I'm referring in terms of noise.
If it's just on the pure basis of noise, I think that there are mitigation measures that can be put in place to mitigate that noise. I've accepted Dr. Charles's evidence. Particularly in terms of him acknowledging that, not so much in the outer control, but in the ear noise boundary, there might be locations where that the acoustic installation identified in chapter 36 might not be enough to mitigate the noise, therefore providing a design certificate.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll cover that situation. In your revised version on pages 17, 14 and 17, 15, you've provided, and I'm presuming you've prepared these in conjunction with Mr. Kyle, two definitions for airport activity and two definitions for airport-related activity. Why should Wanaka and Queenstown have two different definitions of an airport, of airport activities?
So we're just speaking about airport activities, not related activities.
Just airport activities first.
If I just skim over the definitions, at first glance, they appear to be similar. That was the reason why these two was purely working with Mr. Kyle and drafting these. Yeah.
I understand. So, I understand that.
Yeah.
To be honest, Mr. Kyle is responsible for some of the definitions in the operative plan that relate only to three parts. So.
Yeah.
I'm asking from your point of view,
yes.
Do you think it's necessary to have two different definitions?
Not really, no, I don't. Not if they're providing, if what they're intended to do is provide for core aviation related or aviation core activities. I don't think there should be. I think the differentiation between the two airports sits within the definition of airport-related.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. I personally would, if I was you, I would be asking Mr. Kyle a certain question, but from my perspective, I don't have a rationale or justification.
Okay, that's fine. In his evidence, Mr. Kyle says that it's important that there be some correlation between the definition of airport activities and the activities that are provided for by the respective designations. Do you agree with that in principle?
In principle, because the activities that are anticipated through the designation can only, or only the requiring authority can, they only benefit the requiring authority. So therefore, if a third party wants they just marry up in terms of a third party also being able to undertake those activities.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you consider then that if airport related activities correlate to the activities in the designation, the standards applying to the respective airport should reflect and possibly repeat the conditions attached to the respective designations?
Permitted activities at Queenstown Airport, and so at Queenstown Airport under the designation, the condition reads: retail activities, restaurants and other food and beverage facilities, including takeaway food facilities, signage and industrial and commercial activities, provided they are connected with and ancillary to the use of the airport. If we go to pages 17, 14 of my revised chapter, I don't think that so that permitted activity is intended to cover airport related activities in my view. So it's activities that support the airport activities, so they're not core. I think that the definition of airport-related activity at Queenstown Airport is slightly broader than that.
What about the condition on each designation that requires compliance with the air noise boundary and the out of control boundary? Where is that standard in the zone rules?
It applies, so the notified rule for land-based activities, which I've recommended be removed.
I'm more concerned about the aviation activities.
Yeah, because the reason I'm saying this is because either way that activity excludes aviation activities.
No, airport activity, Queenstown means land use holding department for the landing, departure and service movement of aircraft. The landing and departure of aircraft.
Yeah, but what I mean is the designation controls. I haven't got it in front of me.
Can I put a scenario to you?
Yeah.
Which might assist you. If we were to agree and recommend with the provisions as they are drafted, and airport activity at Queenstown is a permitted activity under 17.4.1. Airport activity means the land wholly or partly used for the landing, departure and service movement of aircraft. And the airport authority uplifts its designation because it doesn't need it, because it's permitted activity to land and take off aircraft.
Right.
Where does that leave us with the out of control boundary and the air noise boundary restrictions?
So, as what you're saying, that we need to duplicate those rules that are in the designation that control.
That's what I'm asking you, do we?
I've never thought of that, but I think that's a valid thing to consider. Yeah.
we turn to the airport related activities definitions, again, is there a need for those to be different? Or put it this way, are they in fact different?
I think that they are slightly different. The definition that Wanaka Airport, the airport related, includes space and research, space research and associated activities. It includes the air shows, conferences and meetings,
and
the transport museums, or current activities. It reflects what's currently occurring, but I do think I feel more strongly about two different definitions for airport-related activities at Macquarie airports, given the context in which they sit. I don't think that Wanaka is at all of a matching scale. The airport is at all of a matching scale comparable to Queenstown.
Well, if we just look at the Queenstown definition.
Yeah.
It says that it means ancillary activity or service that provides support to the airport. Then it says it includes but is not limited to.
Mm.
So arguably everything that's mentioned for Wanaka can happen at Queenstown anyway.
Yeah.
So is there a need for two definitions?
I would just want to be certain that what some of the activities that are listed as being airport related activities at Queenstown would not be inappropriate. I just want to ensure that it doesn't include activities that might not be appropriate at Wanaka.
Well,
visitor accommodation, I don't think that's appropriate at Wanaka.
Well, that raises the question though, because whether those things are listed there or not, the fact that it says it's not limited to those things means that people can remove them from that list. So there's a whole lot of other things that could also go there. Aircraft manufacturing, for instance.
Yeah, I think when you read the section 32 assessment for Wanaka, it was clearly intended to be a mixed use zone. So, the way the chapter's been drafted is to apply, is to basically facilitate business that complements the airport.
Sure. Yeah. From a planning point of view and ease of use of the district plan, be requiring users to look in the definition that applies to the Wanaka Airport to discover that, for instance, the toy museum is actually allowed. Shouldn't we just list those things as permitted or controlled activities? And same with space research. I mean, I'm not sure that we need to say in the definition that NASA can be there.
I understand exactly where you're coming from. When I was working with Queenstown Airport to come up with the provisions, we had another version that did list all the permitted activities in the activity table, and it was just more efficient. We thought it was more efficient to just group everything into the definition, because it just got really long and it got overwhelming. We did a
team set. Does the toy museum actually, is it an activity that it provides or is related to the airport?
Sorry, say that again.
The toy museum, is that an activity that's related to the airport?
said that the permission was drafted to encompass all existing activities in South End. So it was just a reflection of current land use.
If you've already drafted the list of activities, as that would be in an activity table, would you be able to provide us with a copy of what that looked like?
Yep, I can. Just noting that it was severely in draft form.
Sorry?
That was is completely draft format.
That's. I just wanted to see. While we're on the same page, we'll carry on with some more definitions. We'll go to the wholesaling one first.
Yeah.
Is there different provision for wholesaling elsewhere? Or is it this type of this definition only applies in three zones, or should it? Would it be the same if applied in any other zone?
It's an existing definition in the plan, and I've just suggested that it needs to include this zone. So, but it could just apply across the board. I think.
Okay.
I just had it investigated. I didn't cross three parts industrial B zones out because I hadn't done a thorough assessment of the implications for these for the plan if I had.
Okay. It's really just a bit of forewarning then that when we get to the definitions chapter we will be looking to have a sensible approach to that. With the out of control boundary for Wanaka and it occurs, I don't know if it's the deletion of the definition of air noise boundary proposed, but is it necessary to define out of control boundaries and air noise boundaries individually for each airport, or are those lines able to be defined in terms of the standard and then the where they go as part of the shoreline maps?
I think so. The reason why there's two different definitions applying to Wanaka and Queenstown is based on the modelling. So if we could somewhere clarify that this modelling for Wanaka is based on the predicted sound levels for operations in 2036 as opposed to Queenstown, it's based on a modelling approach to 2037. If that's somewhere differentiated in the plan, I think we can definitely have one definition.
I think then, if you go back to my questions earlier about correlating the standards to the designations, that would be, if you were to include a standard on compliance with those boundaries, that would be the appropriate place to include that information, wouldn't it? Yeah. Appendix referred to Mr. Kyle's suggestions regarding the issue of the definition of farming and various other things. Isn't the issue that at both airports they use grazing to keep the grass down?
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't the plane just provide for grazing?
Oh, why didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, that isn't a more simple answer than having some convoluted way of looking at definitions and saying that that's within the term farming. But grazing is what they do. And grazing has a new definition, it doesn't need to be defined.
I think, isn't the problem that farming is provided for as permitted activity in the activity table?
What
in the definition of airport?
Right. Well, I think there's submissions suggesting that farming is too broad. And I thought that farming involved factors which the definition of farming couldn't meet.
I don't think,
isn't it simpler just to say they graze?
It is simpler, but I'm aware of what that submission was, because when I was first drafting my report, I wanted to remove it, but I didn't think I needed scope for it.
Right, okay. If you don't think it's scope, that's fine.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll discuss that with Mr. Kraft, perhaps.
Yeah.
He might be able to point us at something. The objective is achieving an acceptable level of amenity for those residing on neighbouring land. How is that objective consistent with the objectives applying to neighbouring land, such as low density residential, that there be a high level of amenity? The objective is that there be an acceptable level of amenity for those residing on neighbouring land.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how that is consistent with the objectives that apply on the neighbouring land, such as low density residential, which are focused on achieving a high level of residential amenity.
Mm-hmm. I think that this objective was drafted notified on the basis that there are going to be adverse effects, mainly to noise, that are generated by the airport. But that in acknowledging that there will be adverse effects, maintaining that in a legal way that is acceptable.
So, if don't worry, I asked the same question of the people in the residential screen.
Yeah.
Is it that the residential provisions within the control boundary should recognise those effects. Is that your view?
Possibly, yes, because is it not to do with reverse sensitivity effects and the sensitive activity being located at residential, being located in close proximity to the airport? So this objective seeks to recognise that fact. But recognising that there are going to be adverse effects on immunity, but making sure that they're not unacceptable.
Objective 1731, I think it's 1721. That,
yeah.
What is the outcome of that objective? 17.3.1, but I think it's supposed to be 17.2.1.
Oh, that's a policy.
No, at the top of the page.
This was, what was your question, sir?
What is the outcome
that
is desired from that objective?
So is this another question that you asked Ms. Jones before? Is this a...
Well, it's actually Ms. Bowen-Wise.
Oh, sorry. Yes, it was. Sorry, it was. Is this an outcome or a statement of fact? Desire. I've questioned that myself.
We'd like to give some thought as to how that could express an outcome. In Rule 17.4.15, which is the one about community activities, you've got aviation schools there. Are aviation schools community activities?
Community activities?
Yes, but an aviation school, does it have classrooms?
Yes, I would say so. I've never been to aviation school, but...
I think they teach people to fly.
Yeah, but
the classroom is up there.
So is there not a study component and a teaching component? I don't. I personally, maybe I need to investigate that more.
I wonder if that's the issue, that in fact aviation schools should be specified as an activity.
Okay.
And that overcomes the issue raised by Mr. Kyle. And if you do that, then the question is why otherwise you wouldn't treat community activities differently at Queenstown from Wanaka, presumably.
No.
Yeah, okay. Now, in 17.4.16, you've got wholesaling and commercial storage activity. I'm just wondering why that's listed, given that all other activities are non-complying anyway.
Mm-hmm. That came about because, if I recall correctly, it came about because of the submission United Nations hearing relating to an aircraft hangar being used for wholesaling. It's basically to address the knowing that there's an existing operation that's occurring at Wanaka Airport, which uses a hangar space for that distribution centre.
If we deleted that rule, would there be any different effect on that person?
No, it's still captured by that non-compliant rule above.
Now, following rules, and this may have been covered by Mr. Kyle's plan, all the prohibited activities, is there any scope for those, given the operative zone is, the notified zone is rural?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't recall rural having prohibited activities.
Yeah, perhaps not. That was to be consistent with Queenstown Airport. So then, there's probably not scope. Mr. Carr would know for sure because he was representing Queenstown Airport Corporation, whose submission gave scope.
But I don't recall that their submission sought that they just sought that they provide for the airport.
Yeah.
Now, in the first standard, 17.6.1, it's got the effects on urban design outcomes as one of the matters of discretion.
Mm-hmm.
What urban design outcomes are we talking about?
Non-regulatory methods at 17.8.3 is a requirement for the non-regulatory method that requires Queenstown Airport to prepare an urban design guideline for the Queenstown Airport.
If it's a non-regulatory method, can it require the airport to do it?
Well, so is the concern around the word shall prepare?
I was just wondering if you said require.
After the require, yeah. The wording is shall prepare.
Just stepping back into your role as a consents planner.
Mm-hmm.
If you had an application before you and you had to consider that, and Queenstown Airport hadn't yet produced any urban design guidelines,
mm-hmm.
what would you be considering under that matter?
I'd get an urban design assessment of the application or require the applicant to provide one with their application.
And what would they be measuring against?
Built form and character, which maintains the airport and its surrounds as an attractive gateway to the district. I'd be asking for comments.
Where does it say that in?
Within 17.8.3.
Well, no, I'm looking at 17.6.1.
Question was affecting urban design outcomes, and if there was not an urban design guideline produced at this point in time, what would I be asking for as a consent planner?
No, what I was meaning, Under section 104, you have to consider the objectives and policies. Are there anything in the objectives and policies that you could assess it against?
Policy 17.2.3.1 on my screen. Maintain Queenstown Airport is a memorable and attractive gateway to the district.
And then you were saying that under section 104.1D you'd go to 17.8, is that where you were leading?
Because the matter of discretion,
it's 17.13. Page 17.
Okay. So, yeah, because my discretion is restricted to urban design outcomes. I would look at the design guidelines for the airport, and if they had not yet been produced, I would be requesting further information.
Okay. When they are produced, will they be incorporated into the plan by reference?
I've not turned the thought to that. But I suppose it would need to be consistent with the other times we spoke about this morning.
Just going back to 17.6.1. I'm just wondering, given that got urban design outcomes and then the positive effects. Why is there a reason for the limit of 75% coverage?
Of the understanding that was the same as in the Auckland district plans.
Right.
Noting that the current extent of the zone is much smaller than it will be if the rezoning of all the rural general zone land.
Turning to the next rule, 17.6.2. So restricted discretionary activity to breach the 5 metre setback from residential zones. But in the matters of discretion, there's none of the matters that you'd normally expect when you were coming closer to a residential zone, are there?
No, and I also note that under clause 17.7.1, non-notification of applications. All applications for restricted discretionary activities shall not require the written consent of other persons and shall not be notified or limited notified.
So even if they want to go right up to the boundary of a residential property, they don't need that person's consent. What is your view on that as a planner?
My personal view, I don't
Your professional view?
My professional view, I don't support that. I don't think that I think an assessment of effects needs to be undertaken. And if someone is adversely affected, then written approval should be obtained.
I know that you agree with Mr. Collin that provision 17.5.9 be changed to something else, but I'm just wondering, could you help me with what 17.5.9.1 actually means?
17. Could you please tell me the reference?
That's on page 17.10. And it's on signs.
So, yeah, I think the drafting of this standard could be improved significantly, but I was just...
You have the same problem that I have there.
I just didn't know if there was... I couldn't find scope to make changes to it. I was toying with this when I was drafting my section 42A. But I suppose that comes back to what Commissioner Rogers said at the very beginning. When I don't see scope, I need to suggest a solution, maybe a variation.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Now, in 17.5.14, it's on page 17.12, that's your maximum. I'm just checking that the rule is the total gross floor area that's limited. Is that correct across all activities?
The maximum total, yeah.
Yes.
Any questions?
I'm just discussing with Commissioner Rogers as to whether we actually have any questions for Ms. Jones. And he doesn't, and I don't.
No, right.
And now we're back to this. Otherwise, we start.
So, yes, thanks, Ms. Fodrides.
It's just disappeared for a moment.
Thought she was off the hook. this version, obviously, is just an interim. An update, so we will rely on it, and of course it will be updated as required, either by the plan.
So that's the Queenstown Town Centre document you're holding up.
That's correct, so at 10 this morning. Note that it also has some amendments to Chapter 36, so it's not just Chapter 12, there's also a couple of minor amendments added on to the pages. In terms of orders, sir, the proposal is to deal with local shopping centres first.
Yes.
On the screen basis. I'll ask Ms. Bovine when she's ready to read the summary as it relates to that side.
The overarching purpose of the local shopping centre zone is to provide more. The overarching purpose of the local shopping centre zone is to provide for small scale commercial and business activities that are accessible to residential areas and people in transit. I recommend that the framework structure and majority of the provisions of the notified chapter are retained as notified. I also recommend a number of changes as shown in the recommended chapter. The most significant changes I recommend are A, the introduction of a limit on the gross floor area of permitted retail activities, and the introduction of limits on identified types of non-convenience retailing. B, the introduction of a limit on the gross floor area of office activities. C, acknowledgement of the Queenstown Airport out of control boundary and reverse sensitivity effects. D, additional acknowledgement of the effects on the state highway in respect to the rules that specifically apply to the local shopping centre zone at One Hanson Road. And E, provision for consideration of the effects of verandas on the safe movement of high sided vehicles. I have read and considered the pre-lodged evidence received from submitters and I comment on each in terms of order. Mr. Tony McColl has provided evidence on behalf of the New Zealand Transport Agency and states that he supports the recommended revised chapter insofar as it relates to his submission. No further relief is sought. Mr. John Carl and Mr. Chris Day have provided evidence on behalf of Queenstown Airport Corporation. Mr. Carl considers that Rule 15.5.3 adequately addresses the potential reverse sensitivity effects arising as a result of airport noise. Mr. Carl suggests that the mechanical ventilation requirements proposed during the district-wide hearing relating to the noise chapter should be applied to the local shopping centre zone located at Franklin. This view is supported by Mr. Day for CAC and Mr. Charles for the council. I agree with this amendment and will consider it further after hearing today and Mr. Carl at the hearing and in my reply evidence. Mr. Ian Reeves has provided evidence on behalf of Pinfold and Satomi Enterprises in respect of the local shopping centre zone at Cadrone Valley Road, Wanaka. Mr. Greaves generally reiterates the views of the original submission, which seeks specific development controls in relation to the boundary of the submitted properties that adjoin the southern boundary of the local shopping centre zone at Cadron Valley Road. I note that the relief sought in the Pinfold and the Tony Enterprises submission was limited in scope to apply only to the local shopping centre zone that adjoins the submitted land at Cadron Valley Road, rather than being zone-wide. Mr. Greaves' evidence, however, extends to requesting relief that would apply across the entire zone. These amendments recommended by Mr. Greaves include changes to policies and rules that were not included in the original submission. Therefore, my view is questionable as to whether the original submission provides sufficient scope to make the changes to notified policies 15.2.2.4 and 15.2.2.6 and notified rules 15.5.1, 15.6.2, and 15.6.3 that are recommended by Mr. Greaves. Insofar as Mr. Greaves' evidence seeks changes within the scope of the client submission, I refer to my discussion and recommendations in the Section 32A report. I remain of the view that these elements of relief should be rejected. Insofar as the additional relief recommended by Mr. Greaves, I understand to be outside the scope of his client submission, I will consider this further after hearing Mr. Greaves speak at the hearing. Willow Ridge Developments Limited have sought the introduction of a number of controls into the local shopping centre zone. Willow Ridge, opposed by the Gordon Family Trust, have lodged a submission seeking the reduction of the size of their local shopping centre zone at Cadron Valley Road. The latter submission point has been deferred to the hearing on anything. Mr. John Polkinghorn has submitted economic evidence for the Gordon Family Trust that seeks provision for two larger tenancies in the LACZ at Cadron Valley Road. In regard to the economic evidence provided by Mr. Polkinghorn, I accept and rely on the evidence submitted by Mr. Heath, including his evidence summary, which provides economic arguments against accepting the relief pursued. In my view, the proposal for two larger retail tenancies of 1,500 square metres and 750 square metres within the local shopping centre zone at Cadron Valley Road would not be consistent with the zone purpose in provision 15.1 and would not assist with achieving objective 15.2.1 and policy 15.2.1.2, which seek that a range of activities are enabled that are of limited scale. In my view, the amendments in my recommended chapter are appropriate and would assist with the implementation of this policy framework. In addition, it is my view that inserting the amendments recommended by Mr. Polkinghorn would require a set of bespoke provisions that would significantly increase the complexity of the local shopping centre zone chapter. This in itself, in my view, indicates that the relief being pursued does not sit comfortably within the local shopping centre zone purpose. As the larger, I'd like to replace it with sites with tenancies. Yeah, in my summary. So it would read, as the larger tenancies being pursued would result in a significant departure from the zone purpose and policy framework, inclusion of these amendments would require a distinct purpose, policy and law framework that would apply only to the Cadron Valley Road local shopping centre zone. Finally, the economic modelling included in Mr. Falkenhorn's evidence focuses on the Wanaka catchment and is focused primarily on the local shopping centre zone at Cadron Valley Road and Wanaka. It is unclear whether his recommended changes to the local shopping centre zone provisions are intended to apply only to the Cadron Valley Road local shopping centre zone or to the Wanaka catchment, which includes two additional sites, Elktown and Harwea, or whether his intention is that they apply across the entire zone. Upon further consideration, it may be beneficial to consider the Pinfold and Satomi Enterprises submission in conjunction with Willow Ridge Development Limited's rezoning request, as both provisions are specific to the Cadron Valley Road local shopping centre zone. They raise similar matters, and I consider it likely that any changes to the notified size of the zone will impact on the relief sought by Pinfold and Satomi Enterprises. And one additional matter, and it's not included in my summary, but I'd like to add to it. Yesterday, I noted there's a rule missing from the redrafted chapter, and it's in relation to screening and outdoor storage. I note that rule 15.5.1 of the redrafted and notified chapter refers to, in terms of the matters of discretion to that rule, refers to the outdoor storage requirement. and policy 15.2.2.6 of the redraft of the notified versions. It's a policy that refers specifically to outdoor storage screening. So the omission of this rule is an error, and I'll respond to it in my reply insofar as whether or not there is scope to address it now or whether it requires a review later.
I wonder if before we start asking the questions, it would be helpful if you could just describe to us the various local shopping centre zones in the district and what is there. I mean, particularly is this tomorrow and Monday, I propose to take that. At the moment, Commissioner Rogers to visit all of these, and it would be helpful, I think, for all of us if you could just explain the various locations and what's studied and before we start questions.
Perhaps if we turn to Appendix 5 of my section 42, I can walk through as the PDD next, and I can work through each one in turn. Which is located in the northwestern corner of the zone. And that dairy also serves as a fish and chip shop, a cafe, a post office, and upstairs it also has a restaurant. The remaining area of the site, one site on Bodkin Street, is currently undeveloped. The site that is developed on Bodkin Street has a dwelling on it. Prior to notification, I spoke to the landowner there and he told me that he had expressly constructed the dwelling in a manner that so that it could be lifted off and moved off site at such a time that this would become a commercial area. So that dwelling has the ability to be repurposed.
Do you have any feel for the gross floor area of the activity you've described?
No, I don't get that, but I can get it for you.
I'm just sort of interested because of the evidence in terms of the suggested limit at, I think, what was it, 300 square metres gross floor area?
For retail,
yeah. And I just wanted to sort of get a feel for that against what was actually happening on the ground now.
Yeah, sure. I can certainly try and find it in advance of your site visit tomorrow if you'd like to use it as a yardstick.
If that's really available, yep.
Yes, okay. Oh, that would be a matter of looking through the building consent information and if that's there on the council records, then I shouldn't be able to get that easily enough.
Sure.
If it's too much trouble, a ballpark figure would do.
I don't want to lose your regard. I'd rather have a look through our building information.
Okay.
Alternatively, I could contact the owner of the dairy and she could give me a figure.
Yeah.
Either way, I'll do my best to find it.
Yeah, not too much trouble, not too much time to speak. It's just to give me a few figures.
No, yes, I understand that you want it. Now. We might skip the next ad, which is Map 18. So moving to Map 23. So this is currently an undeveloped site on Quadrata Valley Road. It's the largest of the proposed sites for the zone. In terms of the background of the site, this site was brought forward to us by the landowner for inclusion within the zone. So in terms of the reports that are appended to the Section 32 analysis, those reports on traffic infrastructure and retail assessment were provided by the landowner, Peter Gordon. Adjoining the zone to the north is the Wanaka Medical Centre, and there's a retirement village there as well. On the opposite side of the road is a commercial area, respective of the zone, which includes an indoor climbing centre. It until recently had a lifestyle restaurant, and there's a cinema there as well.
Is there any reason why the Lone Star, wasn't also given the same?
I just think that we didn't consider it.
And the same with the medical centre. So is the medical centre in the same or is it in the large lot?
No, it's adjoining it to the north.
In the large lot?
Yeah. Correct. Okay. Correct, yes. So, planning act 24, which is the next one in the sequence. This is the Wellington Centre zone, so it's right in the in out of town. It is currently zoned township and has a commercial precinct overlay across it. It currently contains a dairy, a recently constructed cafe, and the Uptown Tavern, which is there is also often campervans parked there, so there may be a visitor accommodation that occurs there as well. I'm not sure about the status of that, though, whether or not it's already established. But there are certainly campervans that park there quite regularly. Moving on to the next map, which is map 27, Aratown. And the local shopping centre zone is shown on Anderson Drive. That currently contains a four square dairy. The next map is map 31A. Close up version of that is map 33, which shows the shopping area. So this area includes the One Hanson Road, which is the large site to the east of the Frampton Cemetery. You can see there showing there's two crosses across the Frampton Cemetery site. The area to the east of that and to the north of it is what's referred to in the provisions as the One Hanson Road site. The area to the west of it is Frampton Junction, which contains existing commercial activities and is zoned. Doesn't have a commercial zone currently. The area to the south of the state highway there is currently within the corner shopping centre zone of the operative plan, and those sites contain commercial activities currently. They include a video store, restaurants, there's a pub there as well, so activities of that nature. And then moving to the last map, which unfortunately shows them in a very small scale, but there are two sites there, both on Flynn Hill Road. One is on the corner of Flynn Hill and Richards Park Lane. And it currently contains a dairy, a takeaway and a restaurant. And then the final site is on the corner of Flynn Hill Road and Arawata Terrace. That site does contain a building which is currently unoccupied and is quite derelict. The signage on the building suggests that it previously had a health centre and like an alternative health centre. But as I say, the building is quite run down, very overgrown, doesn't seem to have been occupied for quite some time.
Okay.
Is that useful?
Yes, that's very helpful. Very successful, it took us 3 to 4 months in the agreement.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Very successful, it took us 3 to 4 months in the agreement.
Right.
Thank you. I'm a journalist.